following program is a production of the Barroom Network and intended for all audiences.
Is what would your message be to young women that are just getting started or want to get started in sports broadcasting?
Was there anyone that you worked with early on or maybe you built a bond with that kind of helped usher you in as a young broadcaster?
Was there ever an initial comment or situation from a coworker that first struck you that you might not be getting viewed in the same light as everyone else?
Social media has clearly created a new medium for people to be cruel in the matter of seconds. Do you feel that has made it more difficult for women, or is it simply just bringing to light the ignorance that has always been there anyway?
What inspired you to get into sportscasting?
Pass the Mic with Alyssa Barbieri and John Buffone.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Pass the Mic, a show all about spotlighting female voices in sports media. I'm John Buffone, and alongside me is my co-host, co-producer, and friend, Alyssa Barbieri. You may know us from our Chicago Bears podcast here on the Barroom Network, Buffone 55, and now we're teaming up on this new adventure. Alyssa, how you doing?
I'm doing good today, John. I'm excited to welcome in our guest.
Yeah, it's, these episodes and these shows they're just so much fun to do. And we hear a different story every time. And it's just, this has been a great endeavor so far. And we're only three episodes in. So I'm excited to keep it moving. And I'm happy that we're back for another episode because we have a great guest today. But for anyone that hasn't listened to our show before, Alyssa, can you let them know what this show is all about and what our prime objective is?
Absolutely. So Pass the Mic was created to feature female voices in sports media and bring light to the struggles that they have endured throughout their journey. There are so many talented women in sports media today, and all too often they are criticized for how they look, what they wear, or they're not taken seriously simply because they are female. Unfortunately, this is still a big problem in 2020. And if we can make even a tiny impact, then this show will be a success.
For sure. And I think it's important to note that sometimes our guests will be from a big network and other times it'll be a more regional guest. And we do that because no matter where a woman works or what level they are currently at in their career, their story is important to tell. And I hope that we can present you all a different perspective.
That's right. And this week we have an awesome guest. She is a retired ballerina, has worked with a number of companies doing everything from blogging to writing to podcasting, and now she is an independent NFL blogger and analyst. Her name is Lindsay Okay. Lindsay, thank you so much for taking the time to be on Pass the Mic. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. This is such a cool thing.
We are so excited. I can't wait to learn about your journey and everything that you've gone through. So I wanted to kind of start by asking, like, how did this all start for you? How did you get into sports? Into writing, what's been your inspiration through all of this?
So just to preface this, like I never wanted to be a journalist. I never wanted to be an author. I never wanted to be a writer. I hated English growing up in school. I hated writing papers. It was just not something that I saw myself doing ever. But I got my start kind of basically like tweeting about football. And then from there, I went to school to be a teacher, by the way. So it was like completely not on my radar whatsoever. I ended up getting an internship with Ed Reed, who is now in the Hall of Fame. But at that time, he was still on the Ravens. So I kind of, I networked my way through there. I found a lot of just behind the scenes work very interesting. I did a lot with his foundation and stuff like that. And got, you know, to meet a lot of the players and like the media and the guys who worked for the team, like everybody from like digital to like front office. And it was just like really opened my eyes to everything, because it's one thing to sit and watch a game on Sunday and it's a completely different thing to see what goes on behind the scenes. So that's kind of how I got my start. And then from there, I just kind of worked my way into the media. And like you said, I did everything from podcasting to I wrote for Ravens Wire for USA Today, and I just kind of, you know, ended up going on my own, and it's been great so far.
That leads me to my first question. Why did you decide to go the independent route? Is it because you had such a non-traditional introduction to media that you kind of wanted to do things your own way? And what kind of inspired you to kind of just do things on your own terms?
most of it was, and I'm not trying to like put anybody down that I've worked with, just putting that out there. But a lot of places that are run by old white guys, to be honest with you, is going to tell you what to say and tell you what you can't say. And I didn't like that. I didn't like, you know, working so hard on an article and then being told it was too mean and they have to take half of it out, you know? So I just, I don't know. I have a very, I'm very like laid back. I don't want to say that I don't take myself too seriously because I do. I work really hard. But at the same time, I feel like I started as a fan and I still am a fan, and seeing everything from so many different perspectives, like I kind of want to have that tie into my work as well. I feel like a lot of like the beat guys, and not to, again, not to insult anybody, but they're all like, you know, have their tie on and everything, and they take everything too seriously. And I just, I'm so not that way. And I didn't want to be anything that I wasn't. I didn't want to pretend to be somebody I'm not. If I don't know who a player is, I'm going to say so. And if somebody wants to hate on me for that, that's totally fine. But at the same time, I'm not going to, you know, again, try to be somebody I'm not.
I love that. I think it's so refreshing, you know, to, you know, bringing the fan aspect to it, because, you know, we all start as fans, you know, even those that have gone on to have these jobs. So, you know, when you did first get into sports media, was there any instance where, you know, maybe you felt like you were judged unfairly?
Oh, of course. And it still happens. I just remember, and it when I first started as an intern, everybody I worked with Ed, from Ed was the coolest guy. He always made me feel welcome 100% of the time. Same with all of the players that I met and worked with, and, you know, most of the media. But there was always that one guy or those two guys who always made you feel like you were on the outside. And I don't know, I kind of, not to say like I did it because of them or anything like that, but I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder to, you know, show these people that I really could do it and I could be successful. And I don't know. And it's sad that it still exists to this day, because it still does happen. Sometimes there are people that I come in contact with who treat me like I'm not supposed to be here, like I haven't worked hard and that I don't work hard. Like I put in 13-hour days most of the time, and just to be brushed off their shoulder is kind of, you know, disrespectful.
Sure. And obviously you have a pretty big social media presence, especially on Twitter, and that's where a lot of the interactions take place. As good as social media can be to promote a brand, that's as cruel as it can be to some people that you interact with, or who just kind of insert themselves into a conversation sometimes. So what has it been like dealing with some of that harassment on social media? Because sometimes it just seems like it just comes, it's just cruel for the sake of being cruel.
Yes, 100%. I don't understand it at all. I get it. Like, people sit behind their computers and they can say whatever they want. None of these people are going to walk up to me if they see me at, like, out to dinner or something. None of these people are going to walk up to me and say what they say to my face. I don't know. It's easier to deal with on some days than others. Obviously, if I'm having a great day and, you know, somebody says I suck or something, most of the time I'll just, you know, I'm going to block you. You don't deserve to see my content anymore. If you want to follow me on a burner account, so be it. But as of right now, like, you're just getting blocked. But then there are times when, you know, I have a bad day or I'm not feeling well or something's happened that day that throws me off. Like, especially with the whole like pandemic and COVID-19, like more often than not, like I'm not having a good day. So sometimes like it gets to me more than it should. And I try as hard as I can to not let it bother me, but sometimes you just can't help it.
And, you know, speaking of that criticism, you know, and how you handle it, is that how it started for you? Like right away when you were receiving some of that, you know, vitriol on social media, did you always just kind of brush it off? Or was there a time where maybe it was a little hard to kind of come to grips with that at first as you were getting into this?
Oh, yeah. See, the thing was, is like when I first started doing this, I was mostly like, I just talked about the Ravens. So like that was my audience. My audience was Ravens fans, and they were all so cool to me and so nice to me. And then once I kind of branched off and started growing and started becoming bigger, I switched to the entire NFL, and therefore my audience changed. So if I sat here, first of all, I'm a Ravens fan. I'm always going to root for them. But if I sat here and said the Ravens were perfect, they did everything well, You know, their coach is great. Their quarterback's great. Their defense is great. There's totally nothing wrong. They're going to win every game. Like, that looks bad on me. So ever since then, like, Ravens fans kind of shifted to where they didn't really understand my shift of audience. So they kind of went against me and started treating me like I was hating on their team or something like that, which is not the case.
And for some reason, and it's beyond me and I don't know why, but when a female analyst or female reporter puts something out on social media, or they write an article or a blog and it's critical of something or someone, they seem to get the harshest of backlashes of the people that read that or, you know, come across that. As a female in this profession, has it obviously people come down harder on you for what you say than maybe some of your male counterparts?
For sure. And I've seen it. I see it happen all the time, and not just to me, but to other women. Like, a man and a woman could have the same take. You know, they could write, they could put their name on the same article, and 9 times out of 10, they're going to attack the woman over the man if they don't agree. And I don't know why it happens. I wish I knew, but I mean, that's just sadly how it is.
And so, you know, what would be your message to, you know, women who want to pursue like a career in this industry? Obviously, you know, there's a lot of negatives that come, but also there's a lot of positives and obviously things that you have succeeded. And so what would be your message to those women that want to join?
A lot of the times I tell people, like, you have to really want it. You have to be able to sacrifice. You have to be able to give up things that a lot of people aren't okay with giving up, such as your social life. I don't, like, in the NFL, you are, I have one day off a week and it's usually Saturday and I usually still work. So, you have to be able to, even, for example, on Thanksgiving, you have to be okay with, depending on what you're working in, to maybe give up Thanksgiving dinner with your family. I mean, to give up having, you know, your friends over one night, or going to a party or a baby shower or some sort of life event. And a lot of people just aren't okay with that. And that's totally fine. But mostly my message for other women is that you have to be able to give up those things. You have to really want it, and you have to be kind to yourself. You have to be yourself, because there are going to be people that will not like you every step of the way. But, you know, you have to really like yourself, and it takes a lot to be able to get there, or at least it did for me.
And I want to talk about some positives, because I don't want to talk about all of the struggles and stuff, because it is something to celebrate as well. So one of the funny things I always see is, because I do follow you on Twitter, is the defense of Joe Flacco and Josh Rosen, and the constant jokes about Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. How did that all come about? Because it has a life of its own now whenever you bring some of that up, and it's just an ongoing thing, and it really engages a lot of people. How did that all come about?
We'll start with one at a time. So we'll start with Joe Flacco. He's just always been like such a cool guy. You know, he's so laid back. And I feel like he's an underdog to the point where he gets so much criticism. And I don't really think it's always been warranted. And he just doesn't care. Like, I love the players that are themselves without the theatrics. Like, you can be yourself without, you know, giving a Ray Lewis speech at halftime. And that's what I've always liked about him. So I don't know. That's kind of when people, and even now when he's not a starter anymore, people still associate, you know, him with me. And it's just kind of, you know, I'm known as the president of the Joe Flacco fan club, I guess. and then Josh Rosen, kind of the same thing. I feel like he's such a cool dude, and he, you know, has always been willing to give his opinion and speak his mind. And I have liked that about him. And I feel like, I really hope he gets his chance, because I feel like he is such a good dude and he's very deserving. And I don't know. I feel like a lot of people hate him for no reason as well. Mm-hmm. And then Matt Ryan, I don't actually hate Matt Ryan. He knows I don't hate him. You know, I sent him a gift when his kids were born. So it's not anything like, there's no, like, we're not going to do a cage match or anything like that. It's just him and Flacco were drafted the same year. And I just feel like I mentioned before, I feel like Matt Ryan got a whole lot more credit than Joe Flacco did, when Joe Flacco ended up doing more than Matt Ryan did with a whole lot less, if that makes sense. Yeah. So I don't know. It's, again, it's just always something that, you know, I'll make a 28-3 joke every day of the week if you want me to, as long as it's there. I don't know. It's just something that people always associate me with. So what's the harm in keeping it going?
I absolutely love that, you know, again, like you being a fan. So, you know, obviously you started as a fan and you are still a fan even as you're doing this. So do you have like a favorite sports moment maybe growing up that, you know, still sticks with you, that still resonates with you?
One of the, it's kind of negative, but I remember that one, that AFC championship game with the Patriots where Billy Cundiff missed that field goal. I will never forget that. I wasn't really a kid. I wasn't really young, but I don't know. It just kind of showed that your team can really disappoint you in very large ways. And then, you know, they can pick it up next year and win the Super Bowl and you just never know. And I love that about football.
Kind of delving back into your professional experience, some of the guests we've had on here said they had to work not just 100%, but 150%, not just for their readers and listeners, but for some of the athletes to take them seriously as well, because some of them had, you know, they didn't think that they could talk to a woman the same way that they could talk to a male reporter. Did you ever come across that where you asked for an interview or you were talking to someone and maybe they didn't take you as seriously as you had hoped that they would?
Thankfully, no. I can't think of a person, an athlete off the top of my head that hasn't treated me like I'm supposed to be there. So I guess that's good news. But I was on a podcast a couple years ago, and kind of going off of that, one of the reasons I left the podcast was because the host basically gave me the job of asking players to be interviewed for the podcast. And his reasoning was they're more likely to say yes to you than they are to any of us, which I was the only girl. So yeah, that's not my favorite story. That's just like one of the instances where I feel like I've been unfairly treated. It was so long ago. Like, I would not say yes to that today, but I did then. And I don't know. It's very unsettling to me to, like, in hindsight, to think about. But thankfully, on like the player side, I can't think of anybody that's treated me badly.
And so something that I love that you do on your Twitter page is, you know, when people come at you, you know, the way that you kind of handle like any sort of criticism and harassment. So what went into that? Like some of your reactions, I remember, I think you just tweeted something about a 10th grade Zoom call instead of like hating on you. So how much fun is that? Like, you know, do you have like a little fun with it as you're kind of like, you know, shooting back at them like that?
Yeah, obviously I'm not trying to like hurt anybody's feelings, and I do not like encourage online bullying. Like, I don't want to be the person that retweets somebody and has, you know, 50 people calling them names under me. Like, I try my hardest not to do that. Cause that's, I don't want to fight fire with fire. But at the same time, like if you're going to come out and be rude to me, then I'm going to be rude to you back. Like, I am the nicest person until you're rude to me, until you give me a reason not to be.
And I found something very interesting that you said about your experience in podcasting. Do you feel sometimes that women feel pressured that they have to take those kind of jobs or else they're not going to get their foot in the door? Whereas you're going to be either the call screener, or you're going to be the guest booker, because they're, like you said, they're more likely to say yes to you. Do you feel like sometimes when women apply for jobs, they say, well, I probably have to do this if I want to do what I really want to do? Do you feel like some of them feel like that's what is necessary?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I worked for free for a long time doing this before, you know, I started to get paid at all. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with starting to write at a fan site or anything just to get your foot in the door. But at the same time, like, I feel like women, if you're like, I feel like there's so many men on fan sites and they have like the one girl just so they can say they have a girl, or they have the one girl on the podcast just so they say they can have a girl, so they can say they're all inclusive. And then they give her a job like they gave me. And, you know, I don't know. I want to be the one. It's kind of like NFL sideline reporters. Like, they give that job to the woman. It's never, the woman's never leading the discussion. And like, that's what I want to be. I don't want to be the mediator. And I feel like women take those jobs, which, again, there's nothing wrong with that, to get your foot in the door, as long as you have goals above that.
And so obviously, you know, you have had some struggles, you know, in your journey to this point. But what would you say has been the most rewarding experience being able to do what you've done so far?
Just being able to say what I want. Like I mentioned before, I don't feel like I have to hold back at all because I represent myself. I own all of my content. I don't have an intern that, you know, answers my DMs for me or my emails for me, or I don't have a ghostwriter that writes for me. Like it's all coming from me. And that's something that I don't ever want to give up. I don't ever want to, you know, give up my authenticity. So that's one of the things that I have loved about it.
One of those things that you kind of give up whenever you go the independent route is the supporting cast around you. Has there been anyone that you have looked to or networked with or talked with to because everyone in every profession needs a shoulder to lean on every once in a while, as far as just kind of talking things out. Is there anyone that you look to for continued inspiration, look up to, whether you talk to them or not? Is there anyone that you kind of look up to or can look for inspiration?
Yeah, actually, Jason LaCanfora has been one of the best friends to me throughout all of this. Him and I met when I was working for Ed, so a long time ago, back when I first got my start. He was one of the first guys in media that I ever met and conversed with and talked with. And we actually, when I moved to Baltimore, I don't live there anymore, but when I did live there, he was ended up being my neighbor. So, I mean, we would always, you know, go out for beers and just like, you know, talk and just converse. And he would give me advice and like, let me pick his brain and, you know, that kind of stuff. And I've since like moved away from Baltimore. I live close now, but we don't see each other very often, but every once in a while he'll check in and ask if I need anything or, you know, anything like that. So he's really been great from like from the beginning till now.
Oh, that's great. And I remember you're talking a little bit about, you know, you starting off as a ballerina. Can you tell us like how you got into that and what that experience was like? And do you still do that? You know, or, you know, like tell me a little bit about being a ballerina.
So I started, my mom was actually a dance teacher. So back from before I was even born. And so I started dancing when I was about 2. And you're not even supposed to really start dancing until you're about 3 because your bones aren't formed yet. But I was 2 and my mom just brought me in her class. And I did it ever since then up until, I mean, I guess maybe through late college. But I can't do it anymore. I really cannot. My knees are just shot. I have that feeling where, and I'm not old, but I just have that feeling where the day before it rains, I can feel it in my knees. You know what I'm talking about? So, but I do like yoga now. I do bar, similar things, but I just can't take the stress on my body anymore.
Before we let you go, I'd love to know, and for our listeners to know, where they can find your content. What are the kind of the things that you're working on? What are some of the things that they can expect if they go onto your page? And, obviously, they can subscribe to some of your content. So, can you kind of tell us all about the model in which that you have, your blog set up?
Sure. So you can find me on Twitter. Twitter's like my main, you know, it's what I do. And, every once in a while you'll have 100 people tweet that Le'Veon Bell went to the Chiefs, but I kind of want to give people something more. So I want to say Le'Veon Bell went to the Chiefs, you know, maybe he gets to play with a real quarterback now. So I'm going to give you some sort of something else rather than just news. The same goes for my blog. You can find that on lindsayok.com. And then I also have a Patreon page where it's turned into more of like a YouTube channel. I kind of do these things where I go through, I either do like my picks for the week or I'll go through, you know, the news stories for the day. And I just kind of sit and talk like I'm doing right now. And it's not edited. I don't, you know, cut any of it out or anything. Like I had a bug fly in my face the other day and I kept it in, you know, so it's just like, it's very just, you know, like me, very laid back. And, you know, I still give you what you want, but it's more everything tied into one.
Excellent. Well, Lindsay, I want to thank you so much for sharing your journey with us, sharing how you got to where you are, and, you know, being so candid about some of the things that you've endured, because I think that's an important conversation to have that not enough people are having, especially in today's atmosphere. So I know you got such a busy schedule, so I really appreciate you taking some time to be on Pass the Mic.
Thank you. I really like doing this too. It's definitely a change of pace from what I normally do. I usually like preview games and stuff like that. So it's kind of cool to talk about the other side of it.
Absolutely. You can find her at Lindsay OK on Twitter. Lindsay, once again, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you guys.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Of course.
We'll be back with the mic drop after this.
on the latest Buffon 55.
I wanted to ask you about the $130 million man, Jared Goff, because Bears fans vividly remember that Week 13 performance in the 2018 season. He was sacked three times, threw four picks. But after that, kind of up and down for Jared Goff, getting high praise and then also being doubted sometimes. So among the Rams faithful, are they happy with the contract and the situation they have at quarterback?
Yeah, you mentioned that Bears game, and I think for people who really follow the Rams closely or follow the NFL closely, that was a big game because that, even though the Rams ended up going to the Super Bowl that year, that was the first game where a team really put together a defensive game plan that really, truly kind of stifled the Rams. I mean, they had had their moments here and there where they'd struggled a little bit, but that was the first time a team had put together a full 60-minute game plan and executed it where you just went, wow, they really, really took the air out of the Rams' tires. And I think that it certainly carried over to the Super Bowl. I think it carried over to a lot of 2019, to where the Rams really had to re-envision things a little bit because of the way teams were starting to defend them, to take away certain things, the way that they pressured Jared Goff. I think Sean McVay had to reimagine a lot of that. So it's relevant to your question because I think so far this season they've done a better job with that. They had rolled Jared out a little bit more, for instance, even though you don't think of him as being a particularly athletic quarterback. He does seem to thrive when he can kind of get out of that pocket a little bit and roll out and find his tight end or find Robert Woods on a crossing pattern or something like that. So they've done a little bit better job with that kind of play action. And the other thing is their offensive line has played a lot better this year than it did last year. So that certainly has been a big help to Jared. He was a little bit shaky in that in this past week's game. He had looked pretty darn good over the first four games. I think it's taken a lot of strides. So I think this will be a good bounce back game. Jared admitted himself that this past week's loss was his worst game of the season. I agree. I don't think he cost them the game by any means. I also don't think he was as sharp as he needed to be. So I would look for him to have, this is going to be a very important bounce back game against what, as we know, has traditionally been a pretty tough defense against the Rams.
Buffon 55, the John Buffon Show with Alyssa Barbieri, only on the Barroom Network.
So, John, I feel like that interview could have been so much longer. There's so much to unpack with Lindsay. We learned so much about her journey and how she's gotten to where she is from fan to from ballerina to fan to blogger. Yeah. So, what thoughts do you have from that interview we just did?
Well, I just love all of the different avenues we've hit so far on this show because there's so many different viewpoints. There's so many different struggles and journeys. And like I've said before, I just appreciate how candid all of our guests are and really opening up and saying, this is what I've gone through, because most of them aren't just going to put it out there for everyone to know, because that's not the type of people they are. But when they're on this show, they can talk about it. And it kind of brings to light all of those struggles they go through that otherwise people may not know about. So I just love all of the different ways that we've heard that people have gotten to where they are. And, Lindsay wanted to be a teacher and then ended up interning for Ed Reed, a Hall of Famer. So, I mean, what a life change that is, huh?
It really was a big life change. I mean, it's great to, hear her story. And like you said, I love how open all of our guests have been with all of the struggles that they've dealt with, and also hearing, how they do tackle some of that criticism, because we see it happen a lot, right? And, not often enough do we get to see, how they respond to it and, how they hold themselves up so high. And I love how, Lindsay has dealt with, some of those haters that she gets on a daily basis. And I do love how, she started as a fan like we are. We're all fans here. And, I love the independent route that she's taken, because she knows that, she is in charge of herself. She can say what she wants to say and do what she wants to do. And that freedom is something I think that, is appealing to, all of us, especially for women that are in this profession.
that takes so much courage, man, woman, to just say, I'm gonna do this my own right way. I'm just gonna start my website, or I'm just gonna start my blog, and I'm gonna do it my own way. That takes so much determination. And like she says, she has one day off, and she usually works on her day off anyway. So that it just takes so much determination and courage to do. My hat goes off to her. And you know, I've been following Lindsay on Twitter for years, and finally I get an explanation of the Joe Flacco, Josh Rosen plus yes. Matt Ryan thing, because it's hilarious, because she will always make a 28-3 joke as in reference to the Falcons blowing that Super Bowl lead to the Patriots. And it's just like, she will just be able, she can put a 28-3 joke anywhere in the world, and it's just gold every time. So it's nice to, you know, just to hear some of those stories too, because we're not here just to talk about, for lack of a better term, the doom and gloom and like the struggles and the negativities, because we want to be able to celebrate these female voices as well. And I think that's just as big a part of this as anything, is to say, yeah, these are the struggles that she has went through, but this is also what she has been able to accomplish. So it's spotlighting, and it's also celebrating. I think that that's an interesting dynamic that we're trying to bring here.
Absolutely. Because, you know, I feel like those haters that try to bring women down in sports, they're doing it, you know, thinking and hoping that it eventually kind of tears them away from it and puts them down, and that they'll stop doing it. And I love that all of these women we've talked to, and so many more out there in this industry, they keep fighting back. They're not going to be put down by any people that are criticizing them because of how they look, you know, who they are. They keep doing them, and they are doing a hell of a job with it.
Absolutely. It's just it's amazing. And every episode, I'm just impressed. No matter, all three of our guests so far, I've just been just listening to these, I've just been in awe of what they've been able to accomplish. But before we wrap up, I just want to thank everyone for tuning in. We hope you're going to join us again and again. Also, if you like this episode, go back and listen to our previous two episodes with Amanda Roller and Peggy Kaczynski. Those are two entirely different journeys of two entirely different women, and in fact, in different countries. So go back and listen to those episodes, because like we've said before, these are evergreen episodes. They're not timely. It doesn't matter if you're listening to them next week, a year from now, in 2022. These shows are always good to listen to put in your library and just queue up whenever you're in the car or wherever you're at. And once again, I want to thank Lindsay OK for being on the show, Aldo Gandia, who's running the board, and you, Alyssa, for being a big part of the show. This is not only an important show, but it's a ton of fun to do it with you.
Absolutely. And I could not have asked to share this with a better partner and friend here. You know, we do our other show over there at the Barroom Network with Buffon 55, you know, where John and I are going to break down the Bears' most recent game and interview an expert on their upcoming opponent. And then also John has some epic rants, and at this point, some positivity that, you know, I'm starting to get a little concerned about.
It's a change of pace, isn't it? You don't know who I am anymore. I'm being positive.
I don't. It's like you're wearing a mask. It's crazy.
Hey, 2020 is a weird year. It's I'm being positive about the Bears. I'm talking playoffs. I mean, if you're listening to this, you know, later on down the road, you're going to see, you're probably imagining, well, he's in for a rude awakening. So if you're listening to this in 2021 or in January or December, you're like, oh, that poor soul, he is heading towards a heartache. But I knew what I signed up for. Before we head out, I want to remind everyone to give Alyssa a follow at Alyssa Barbieri and myself at JD Buffon. Also, follow the Barroom Network on all of our awesome shows at sports, entertainment, and beyond. Be sure to check out barroomnetwork.com. So for Alyssa Barbieri, I'm John Buffon. We'll see you next time on Pass the Mic.